information provided in this podcast is for general information purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. Although Will Charlesworth is a qualified lawyer, the content of this discussion is intended to provide general insights into legal topics and should not be relied upon as specific legal advice applicable to your situation. It is also Will's personal opinions. No solicitor-client relationship is established by your listening to or interacting with this podcast.
You're listening to With AI FM.
Hello and welcome to the Law with AI podcast. I'm your host, Will Charlesworth. I'm a solicitor specialising in intellectual property and reputation protection law. I'm also a member of the UK Parliament's all-parliamentary group on artificial intelligence. This podcast is about breaking down and understanding how artificial intelligence is challenging the world of law, policy and ethics. Every couple of weeks, I'll be looking at important topics such as how AI is impacting on established areas of legal practice, how it's challenging the law itself in areas such as privacy and intellectual property rights. I'll also be looking at how AI is raising ethical concerns and how it's ultimately reshaping the regulatory landscape. To help me in this task, I'll be having some candid and enjoyable conversations with some fascinating guests, including fellow lawyers, technology professionals, and policymakers, to gain a real insight into what it means, not just for the legal profession, but also for the commercial landscape and society as a whole. So, whether you're a lawyer, a policymaker, or just someone curious about how AI and the law mix, you're in the right place. So let's jump in and I can keep you informed and ahead of the game. So today I have the pleasure of being joined by someone I have known for many years throughout my professional career, Neil Miller. Neil is the founder and CEO of Ten Intelligence, which for the last 12 years has specialized in due diligence, intelligence gathering, brand protection, cybersecurity, digital forensics, asset tracing, surveillance, and fraud investigations. I think I've got all of those.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Neil. I think when I first met you, Neil, it was an intellectual property case, and it was to do with counterfeiting. And you helped me out, Ten Intelligence, your company helped me out with some amazing evidence gathering and some other compiling of data. So welcome. Thank you for joining me. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you for the introduction. There's certainly a lot of services we provide, and to get them all out was quite a task. Yes, I think it was probably about 8 years ago, I reckon, maybe a touch longer. We had that case that came in with the counterfeiting issues. I can't remember where it was located, whether it was in, is it in the UK or was it actually?
It was in the UK, yes, yeah. I think there was a potential UAE element to it, which obviously is the advantage of your firm in terms of its connections there. It was great to have that support and that level of intelligence on the ground as well, which in AI cases is always extremely important.
Yes, yeah, you're right. I think a lot of the cases that we've done over the years have all been different types of cases, different types of issues. A lot of investigations start from a belief that something's gone wrong. Yeah. Or something is being infringed, whether it's a product, a trademark, or somebody internal that could be defrauding an organization or employer. You never know where it starts. So to be able to do the intelligence gathering, profile the individual, profile the case, is always a good start. And I think that's how we helped your pathway in that investigation.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. And it was really helpful as well. I think the client was quite surprised at the level of information and evidence we could gather as well. So that was always very good to be able to impress a client. As I say, thank you for coming along today, because I think you have a level of experience and knowledge and understanding in the technology area, and certainly in the areas that I mentioned before, which can add to our discussion about how AI is impacting, which kind of brings me neatly in a seamless segue to my first question, which is, how has AI impacted on your business? How are you using it now, and how has the landscape changed?
It has definitely changed. And it's difficult to actually pinpoint when it changed. In investigations, you have to rely on finding evidence to support your client's needs, whatever kind of investigation it is. And the AI angle of things have just changed the landscape completely. Long are the days where people like myself, certified fraud examiner or investigator, would be rifling through, you know, documents, you know, manually, or going through records on a computer manually, and just trying to use your trained eye and everything else, to technology now that can do that automatically, you know. And I think that's a challenge that we all face in terms of, you know, practitioners.
Yeah,
I think, you know, people like myself who've had 25 years of experience in the industry will find it difficult to keep up with how technology is actually doing our job. But I think certainly as an investigator or a lawyer or some professionals, I do think that there's still that mental side of being an investigator, using your knowledge, your experience, where to look, how to look for, how to ask questions in interviews and things, rather than just relying on AI to do that for you. And I also think that although AI can be very effective, it can be very fast to really go through documents or spreadsheets or data, it can certainly assist an investigation and cut out a lot of the manual process, if you like.
Sure.
And then you can concentrate on what the documentation or what the results, what the key findings actually come out. And then you test it, because obviously you can't rely always on AI and how it's come to that thought process. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a massive change. I think, you know, a lot of organizations are trying to implement internal AI measures to help the process, the manual process. There's lots of AI technology out there to help organizations like us and banks, financial services, any kind of organization. There is a lot more AI on the market, which will affect, you know, everybody's working day.
So in terms of how you approach an investigation, I imagine you have that initial planning stage as to what resource you'll need, and I mean, I don't know, you can tell me better than that, but how do you decide what level of AI or what level of technology to integrate, and how much that can be relied upon?
Yeah, AI has been around for a while, so we have been using it for a while. So if you take a standard profiling investigation, for example, whether, you know, it's a fraudster who has defrauded an organization of £1 million or whatever it might be, and the client, the lawyers or internal counsel would want to profile their background, right? And they want to know whether they have any assets or where they're located and all these things. We do use AI technology in-house to be able to do that kind of profiling for us.
Yeah.
But it's been around for years. But I think, you know, the buzzword of AI has significantly changed over the last couple of years. So things like, you know, searching media databases, companies' registries, online checks, that can all be done almost, you know, within minutes. But again, as investigators, you have to deliver evidence, and you can't rely necessarily on, you know, the information that's being generated. So you have to cross-reference it. You have to make sure that it's all accurate before you can then provide it to the client. So we've used it for a while. There's certain data sets and databases that are out there that we can use. We can filter. It recognizes some of the search terms that we commonly use to help bypass that that manual process. So it's, you know, click of a button and we get whatever results that are relevant to that inquiry, that jurisdiction, that person. And I also think that, you know, the technology is getting better, quicker, more cost effective. So it's interesting how AI can help us.
Yes.
At the start. But like I say, you can't rely on the information that is provided back. Information is key. Evidence is key for all of our clients. So yes, it's an interesting topic, when to rely on information generated by AI. And I guess the trick is to make sure that you're able to dissect it, evaluate it, and actually put it into an evidence report that is accurate.
And that's what your clients, whether they're law firms or banks, whatever, are instructing you to do. That's why they're retaining you, is that they know you will use whatever technology is available, but that has to be accurate. And ultimately, as with everything, as you say, AI is kind of a buzzword, and it covers just a lot of technology and software that's already been out there for quite a long time. But behind all of it, there has to be the accountability stops with a human being or a corporate entity.
Yes.
And because of your qualifications, because of the regulatory background as well, I imagine you're obviously very conscious about that as well.
Very, very conscious, because, you know, if we're not doing our job correctly and we miss something, certainly in the financial regulatory space, you know, we do a lot of work for listed companies on the stock exchanges and the other markets, where we look into the background of all of the directors who are being appointed to the board. So if we make a mistake and then they go on to be, I'm not saying they do, but, you know, they go on to possibly defraud the company or steal from the company or fiddle the books to make the financial transactions and statements look really good for that company, then ultimately we'll be responsible for not picking something like that up. And it's the same goes with evidence gathering in any kind of investigation. You know, if we missed something, or if we interpreted something that was not accurate, and then the lawyers are in court presenting that evidence, and then the defense might say, well, actually that's not correct, and then obviously our reputation will be under the microscope. So it's important. Very important.
I think there can be a danger of over reliance on AI or that type of technology generally. I'm not saying for you, but I think generally in a lot of professions now as well, because it provides a shortcut to certain things. There's the nature of human beings and our brains wanting to find the shortcut to everything.
I think that's very true. In fact, I was chatting to one of our clients last week, and I was trying to convince him to use our services, because he hasn't used them for a while. And he said, well, we're using this other firm. You know, my heart sank immediately, of course, but he said they miss stuff. They miss information. They miss vital profiling information. And this goes back to the background checks on directors and key executives and shareholders, because they just do a tick box approach. They're just searching for information that they own and don't go outside the box. You know, whereas, yes, you can do that to an element of pulling in all the online sources that you can. It's what's not in the ether. It's what's beyond the online information, where are the gaps, where are the risks? And that's where, you know, like I said earlier, the human element of being able to interrogate data, interrogate evidence, brings a completely different skill set. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that the client is mitigating all kinds of risk from a regulatory standpoint. And this chap said, well, this other company missed a load of things, and I remembered your company who did reports for us, you know, a few years ago, and we were really impressed with the whole dynamic of not just checking available online sources, but went outside the box a little bit. And he's emailed me this morning with a new quote and everything else. So, I mean, I go,
it's good news.
Yeah, it's very good. But I think the point is, you know, the AI in the regulatory space and in the legal space cannot be relied on fully.
Yeah.
Maybe in years to come, it gets a lot better, a lot more, more accurate. But at the moment, you, from my point of view, you definitely need a human professional. Like you said, we're all professionals, and I think we need to be there.
And from what you were saying as well, that's right, really interesting about thinking outside of the box, but also going outside of the box and finding other information from other sources which haven't already been fed into large language models, etc. Obviously, you operate in different jurisdictions as well. And I know in your background, you have been on the ground in probably most of the countries in the world, it appears. I think. And obviously, the UAE is a focal place for you as well, because you have an office out there. Do you think the fact that if you're having to gather information from different jurisdictions, say, particularly if you're dealing with listed companies, hiring directors who've probably worked in lots of different countries and had different educations in different places, do you find, I suppose, that you can't rely on AI as much because different jurisdictions have different rules on what data can be captured and stored and processed?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of jurisdictions do not have the same technology or infrastructure to hold vast amounts of data. For example, a lot of African countries, they don't have the infrastructure to actually store that data and be able to manage it and to search it and all those kind of things. And equally, in places like the UAE, there's a lot of focus on culture around privacy. So they don't want to disclose. They do have the information. They're probably one of the leading countries in the world that collects most data from everybody. But they don't release it. They don't share it unless there's, you know, some need by the law enforcement or the government themselves. So that's a challenge. And to be able to get information that you want through AI is a real challenge, because it's not available. You can do some things. And then the other challenge, I suppose, for doing multi-jurisdictional searches and evidence gathering is that a lot of the information are behind paywalls and, you know, they're not necessarily open to the public. You have to be a subscriber or have a membership or all those kind of things. So the AI, as we stand, won't be able to search beyond those firewalls or those paywalls. And then, you know, beyond that, there's all the information you could possibly want. So there are limitations that, you know, AI can gather all the, you know, information from the surface web, if you like. But beyond the surface web, it won't go beyond. And that's where there's a lot of critical data, a lot of critical evidence that would be missed.
Yeah. So in terms of that, 10 intelligence is still needed on the ground.
Exactly. And actually picking up the phone and speaking with people. It's amazing what information you can get, right? We use our own AI. but no, a lot of the time, because the data is not available in a, you know, an online database, that the AI cannot get the information or transcribe it into a usable format.
Sure.
a simple phone call to the company registry in Ghana, for example, would actually glean more intelligence than relying on very limited data in their database. And it's the same, you know, around the world, you know, all different jurisdictions that have that kind of lack of data infrastructure or the cultural side of privacy. You know, and that's why old-fashioned investigators, boots on the ground, and a simple phone call can actually go beyond that, which is why, like you say, 10 intelligence is needed.
So that's in terms of the landscape as it is. It's really difficult with AI to look into the future because it's changing so rapidly. Yeah. And by the time we've recorded this, there will be probably several more versions of ChatGPT that have been released. But in terms of, say, the short-term future, say the next 3 to 5 years, insofar as you can kind of think where it may lead, where do you think AI may be going in your industry and in your space? How do you think it's going to, can you make any predictions about how it might evolve?
Predictions, I think fraudsters, you know, the criminals, are learning quicker than we are. They have a lot of access to a lot of information that may have been breached in data breaches or hacks or whatever you want to call them. That information is available on the dark web or the deep web. And that's the challenge for organizations such as us, is to be able to think like the criminals in a way that we can actually extract the information from an AI standpoint. I think there is a challenge around, you know, the intelligence side. The intelligence side is there. The intelligence is there. It's the artificial processing of trying to find that intelligence is missing. And I think that's probably going to be quite a challenge for companies like us. I also think that there are lots of technologies out there that are actually helping our industry. There is, I was talking to one of our vendors the other day. They can search, you know, a million documents in a heartbeat.
Wow.
And looking to see if they've been forged or altered.
Okay.
And so that's a great tool to have in your arsenal, because, you know, certainly for financial institutions, regulatory authority institutions and companies that are very document heavy, being able to, you know, in a heartbeat just make sure that these invoices haven't been forged or education certificates haven't been amended, all these kind of things that this AI can do, you know, takes that whole process out of somebody like me looking at a document and not being able to spot the mistake, because obviously technology is getting a lot better.
Yes.
Being able to amend documents is a lot easier. So I think that kind of technology is going to help. Certainly for fraud investigations and fraud prevention. There are other technologies that can analyze vast amounts of communication data, for example, you know, your email infrastructure. It can learn and evolve what kind of language it's, you know, a user is using on a day-to-day basis, and if there's something that's outside of that parameter, then it can flag, it can alert to a security department or whoever is in the investigation department, for example, to raise a concern that this user has used a different style of language. There are technologies that can certainly help the industry. Yeah. In 3 to 5 years, I think there's going to be a lot more AI technology companies fighting for the same market.
Sure.
I think there's going to be lots of spin-offs, lots of startup companies that are all trying to do the same thing but have a little tweak there. And I just think that, you know, they will then look at helping organizations in a certain industry sector.
Yep.
And concentrate those in those areas. It's going to be a very competitive space. I think firms for like us, you know, there is a danger that we're not needed, or not needed as much. You know, the better the artificial intelligence gets over the next few years, in terms of what we do, in terms of evidence gathering and information gathering, a lot of AI technology will be able to just automate that, and it'll get better and better and better. So it's a huge concern for me in terms of having, you know, a good team around us. It will affect whether we keep team members.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, the other thing is all our team members all have a different language as well, so that helps. It's I can't predict the future.
No, of course not. No.
I think there are some concerns around how it affects organisations like us. You know, in a pro sense, I think the technology will help us streamline investigations and take out that employment need, if you like, or cost in terms of resource and monthly salaries and that kind of thing. But that's not what we're about, I don't think. You know, we want to use, you know, human intelligence, not just rely on the artificial stuff.
Yes, having met some of your team as well, I do know that they are extremely bright people, as you say, with multi languages who are just thinking almost on a different level, and to try and replace that, I think would be very difficult. I see, as you say, AI helping them and assisting them and taking away some of the more labor intensive kind of tasks, and allowing them hopefully to focus on more of the cerebral things that AI, I suppose, particularly can't do. But perhaps also with different territories, different jurisdictions around the world taking different approaches to AI regulation. As I'm a lawyer, so occasionally I have to use the word regulation. It's allows me to keep being a solicitor. Different regulations means that, as you were saying before, different databases and different information will be different around the world. So in terms of fully replacing people, I suppose that would be a lot more difficult, because you're still going to have to do a lot of boots on the ground type of investigation work. And in terms of your investigation work as well, a lot of it is literally going in and physically being in places, which AI, as much as Elon Musk with his robots is trying to do, can't be replaced.
That's true, because, you know, when we do a, you know, full fraud investigation, we gather the evidence in terms of documents, emails, digital evidence as well from laptops and the like, but then we summarize what we see, and then we interview people. Okay, so, you know, we want to interview witnesses to a fraud, whistleblowers to a fraud, the actual suspects as well, and AI would, well, I don't think it would be able to do that, but it could probably you know, predict certain questions. But would the suspect or the witness actually say anything to a camera, for example? They're not.
No.
You have to be looking them in the eyes to actually
disarm them a bit as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And also see how they're reacting. You know, are they nervous? Are they sweating? Are they twitching? Or those kind of things AI won't be able to spot.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there is some Elon Musk technology that and robots that are, you know, monitoring facial expressions and, oh, they're lying, you know. That might actually come in the future, thinking about it. But at the moment, you know, you definitely need to be able to live and breathe, scratch and sniff. Right.
Yes. And as somebody who has instructed you and needs, as a lawyer, I need investigation services and reports and things like that. You want to pick up, because as much as I can draft an email of instruction and say, these are the parameters and this is it, I also, it might just be me, but I also just want to pick up the phone and chat to you and explain the background to certain things, and we can have a full interaction, which AI relies a lot on the quality, and you said it before, the quality of the prompt. So you know what to ask, you know what to say to get certain responses. But say somebody wanting to use those type of services as a company that has no interaction with it previously might not have any idea whatsoever. Whereas your experience is you come in and say, well, what do you want to know? And they go, oh, we think we need to know this. And then you go, but really, do you need to know that? How, you know, and you can use your experience, I think, to go into that and add to that.
Yeah, the experience is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And certainly in our kind of professions where you're advising clients, you know, to rely on ChatGPT for information, for example, it might give you a good starting point, but it's not necessarily factual.
No.
Because it's drawing information from all different types of sources who you do not know whether it's factual in the first place.
And hallucinates, right? And et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very useful tool for certain aspects of things. But we have to provide guidance and advice to our clients. And our experience, you know, we've done thousands of different cases for law firms, whether it's intellectual property theft or counterfeiting or fraud or whatever it might be. Each case is different, but it follows the similar kind of parameters of how you investigate their case. So to talk to a client is so much more easier to say, well, in our experience, you know, this is what we did for a similar client in a similar position. This really worked well. And AI couldn't have that conversation.
We talked about fraud. And investigating fraud that's happened is the back end of it. And I know, having acted in some fraud cases, the how it can have such a dramatic and debilitating impact on businesses, their bottom line, but also on morale within the company as well. Yes. It impacts down to the very other employees and things like that. And I understand, because you're very good on LinkedIn, that I understand that you have recently launched and you can explain it better than I can, so I'm going to hand over to you, but a pre-assessment tool to get ahead of potential fraud and manage or mitigate risks.
I think
that's probably me explaining it really badly. I'm going to hand over to you to
it's
to
very
talk
good
about it.
It's very good. Very good. So you obviously are on LinkedIn quite a lot then.
I stalk many people on LinkedIn.
That's what we do. yes, we do have a fraud, anti-fraud assessments tool. You know, we're talking about AI, artificial intelligence. We're actually using some technology to predict certain questions and predict certain answers in terms of, you know, going to an organization and asking, you know, 100 questions, for example, around their anti-fraud controls. You know, for example, do they have a fraud policy? If the answer is yes, can you share it with us? You know, all that kind of stuff. And then we use AI, funnily enough, to look at the fraud policy and to dig out some key terms to see if it's actually relevant or useful.
Yep.
The tool is available and it's going to be online, so it's a lot more easy, more interactive for the clients to use. When it's more time efficient, it's a lot more cost effective as well. So rather than sending in a team of, you know, auditors, if you like, on site, which costs £1,000-1,500 a day, you know, for a team to be in.
Wow.
This actually will help bolster your anti-fraud controls. It will look at, you know, how your workplace culture is your culture around zero tolerance to fraud? Is it approached from top down or bottom up?
Yeah.
And, you know, do senior management, are they invested in in stopping it or preventing it, and what's their messaging, the actual anti-fraud controls themselves, dual signatories, access control rights, pre-employment screening checks, all these kind of things will come out in this assessment to see whether, to give them a grade, I suppose, to give them a scale of where they are and what work needs to be done to help prevent fraud in the workplace. There is a stat that is well known amongst our industry and the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, that all organisations will suffer between 2-5% of revenue to fraud, or lose 2-5% of revenue to fraud per year.
Wow.
So if you think about it, that's only based on those frauds that have been reported.
Yeah.
And that figure would probably be a lot higher.
Yeah.
If a lot of the unreported cases. And the worrying thing is the average cost of a fraud is $1.6 million. So what's that one? £1.5 million.
Wow.
That's the average cost of a fraud, according to the ACFE, the Report to the Nations, which is, I think, based upon 2,000 reported cases in like 30 different jurisdictions. So it gives you a good average of what the world is facing. So yes, the tool is there. It's really interactive. It asks lots of different questions. And our focus is to make sure that organisations are actually boosting their defences from fraud, mm-hmm. because fraud will happen.
Yeah.
Where there is opportunity, there is fraud.
It's good to get ahead of that as well and try and manage and mitigate risk, because if you learn anything from, well, particularly litigation, is that you can't eliminate risk, you can only manage it, mitigate it.
Yeah, exactly. And prevention is always better than the cure.
Sure.
And that's the same for this.
And if they want to find out more about your pre-assessment tool and 10 Intelligence, where can they go to find out?
Okay, so the website is www.10intel.com. Our social media handles is at 10 Intelligence. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And yeah, just check out the website. There's lots of information on there.
Thank you very much for coming,
You're welcome.
Neil. I really appreciate it. It's been absolutely fascinating to hear about how AI has impacted on your industry, how you're using it, how we're not quite there yet in terms of fully replacing all humans on Earth, which is a good thing to hear. But there are definitely some very interesting points from that. So yeah, thank you very much for coming in. I know you're flying off later to Dubai.
Yes.
As never sleeps.
Boots on the ground, right?
Boots on the ground. Exactly. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.